Good morning, all. I'd like to call the meeting to order in the beautiful Kennewick. It is unfortunately Friday the 13th, 2020. I'm a little worried about that too. Got a couple of items to open with. One is there seems to be a weather forecast that's a little bit of concern to some people, so I just mentioned that. I know some people want to get out of town tonight, so we're going to work on that. I've asked for the full commission, I've asked Nikki to work on bringing in sandwiches or salads for folks today and have a working lunch. We have a lot of stuff to do, so if I see no objections, we'll do that. The other item is, I guess there's been a request by several members of the public to allow them to use the PowerPoint. I'm not at a place where I think we can start doing that now while we're on the road. This is a very difficult meeting at best for everyone with all the overarching issues that we have to be thinking about. We'll take that under consideration, and perhaps we can do it in Olympia at some point. We can talk about it. Any objection to that or comments from the commission? Okay. I've had some comments put together by department staff that I want to go over, and I'll read it. It's our attention when setting these meetings across the state to enhance the ability of the public to speak directly to the commission. So it is with great reluctance that due to public health recommendations regarding the COVID-19 viruses, we scaled back our in-person meeting this month to items solely necessary for our rulemaking processes. Yet, it's our hope that by doing our part, we'll be able to resume to a more normal schedule in the near future. That said, there are a few things that need to be mentioned. You'll notice our disinfecting frequently touched objects and surfaces during the meeting. To avoid spreading germs, we suggest avoiding handshaking at this time, though it's something we normally truly welcome. If you are sick, we'd like to ask you for the safety of the public to consider returning home and providing your comments in writing rather than in person today. You notice that we've extended the written comment deadline to give people plenty of opportunity to be able to do this. Try and follow best practices to avoid touching eyes, nose, or mouth. Cover your mouth and nose with a tissue or sleeve when coughing or sneezing. Wash your hands often with soap and water for the 20 seconds required. And there are several hand sanitizer bottles in and out, inside and outside the room, and we suggest that you all use them frequently. We also have wipes up here for those that think they need to do that. So having said that, are there any additional comments from the commission? Commissioner Thorburn, with your esteemed career,
Thank you. I would just and reinforce what has been stated. This is kind of a scary time. It's not something that public health officials have not been expecting, to use a double negative. We've known that a pandemic was coming. There's been a lot of preparation through the years, but nonetheless, I think it's scary for all of us. And these recommendations are the ones that are coming from public health officials. They're the best we can do right now. There's still a lot to learn about this virus and how it's being transmitted, but these are good, solid recommendations that are known to minimize virus transmission, and I thank staff for putting the recommendations together.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. We will now go to item A under agenda item 1, Commissioner Discussion. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me give a report to the commission here on the tribal and state co-manager meeting that occurred February 26th on the matter of our policy 3619 review process.
And I think the folks at the front table have a written description of this to refer to. The meeting was hosted by the Muckleshoot Tribe as per the invitation discussed at the commission meeting at the Bellingham in Bellingham. Attendance included about 30 policy representatives from Puget Sound and Coastal Treaty Tribes, perhaps 50 or more tribal technical and policy support staff, Director Susawind, Fish Policy Director Ron Warren, and six other department staff, Commissioners Anderson, Graybill, and myself. Mr. Chairman, you had planned to be there and were disappointed, but you had a family emergency, and we did express that to the group at that time. After opening remarks, there was a similar theme spoken to by representatives of the Swinomish, Tulalip, Lummi, Muckleshoot, Puyallup, Squaxin, Macaw, Quileute, and Nooksack tribes regarding a general concern about the state-tribal co-manager relationship and also some aspects of the hatchery policy review process. There was concern about their request at the Linwood co-manager meeting in July of 2019 to pause the process and consider starting over to develop a joint state-tribal hatchery policy. Some representatives reiterated their dissatisfaction with the development process of policy C-3619 about 10 years ago and some of the content in the current policy. Concern was also expressed about the lack of tribal staff involvement and response for some of the content in the draft Department Science report presented to the Commission on February 7th. Different tribes also brought up the lack of recognition of mitigation hatchery responsibilities as a significant point of concern. We responded that the current review process had always intended to have a significant level of tribal co-manager involvement. We noted that many of their concerns were expressed by commissioners at the time of the June 2018 vote to review Policy 3619. We also noted that subsequent to the July co-manager meeting in Linwood, that the follow-through discussed at that meeting did, in fact, occur. Our director brought forward the tribal request for a pause to consider the joint policy idea to the full commission. The full commission did pause the process and considered how to proceed at the August Commission meeting in Olympia, the September meeting in Winthrop, and again at the December meeting in Bellingham. Using a handout, we spoke to the motion passed by the Commission in June of 2018, the suspension of the first three policy guidelines while the review was underway, and the calendar just adopted at our February Commission meeting. We spoke specifically to the reason for focusing on completing this effort in 2020, noting that it is now approaching 2 years since that effort began. Without speaking to the possibilities of any commissioner being reappointed, it was noted that the current term of four commissioners end in 2020 and three more at the end of 2022. The current commission has a reasonably good level of history and knowledge about the hatchery policy issues at hand in comparison to waiting what could be another several years if we started over and having as many as seven new commissioners deal with the decision process. We asked them to consider this timing dilemma and our desire to complete the commission policy review process in 2020 with the possible ramifications of a prolonged time frame associated with starting over in a joint co-manager process. We also brought up the intent of having concerted tribal co-manager involvement over the course of the remaining 2020 scheduled decision points and the idea of a state policy being a first step toward considering a joint policy such as is in place now with our co-manager disease prevention policy. After a tribal government caucus, their response was that they would be receptive to continuing the schedule to reach a decision point in 2020 on a commission policy if three conditions to their response. One was that there would indeed be significant tribal co-manager consultation and development and commission decision-making on policy language revisions. Secondly, that a concerted effort be made for a joint tribal co-manager report documenting the benefits of hatcheries, and that would include the role of in upholding treaty fishing rights and tribal values, maintaining historic ecosystem functionality, sustaining the economic, societal, and cultural benefits of fisheries that are dependent on the contributions of hatchery-produced salmon, achieving legal mitigation responsibilities for lost salmon abundance due to permanently lost habitat, reaching conservation and restoration goals, and providing research and education benefits. And third, that the commission consider holding an executive session between all nine members of the commission and the representatives from affected tribes at some point in the remaining process. We thank the tribal representatives for the meeting and their position, and said we would bring the substance of this to the meeting of that meeting to the attention of the full commission here in Kennewick. Director Susiwin made some strong closing remarks about the sincerity of our position favoring a durable co-manager relationship. In addition, Fish Policy Director Warren made similar supportive remarks earlier in the meeting, and Commissioner Anderson spoke positively and effectively about the value of a robust co-management relationship in his opening remarks. We also spoke of a joint staff effort in the very near future to begin the process of developing a hatchery benefits report by the staffs getting together to draft a table of contents outline for the report. In bringing this to the attention of the full commission, we also indicated we would come back and discuss the intent of the full commission with those folks with regard to proceeding as described above. I would ask if there's anything Commissioner Anderson, Commissioner Graybill, or Director Susiwin would like to add, and I'd also ask our legal counsel, Joe Panesco, about the matter of a joint executive session that was mentioned.
Mr. Anderson.
Yes, thank you. I think the meeting ended on a positive note with the possible pathway to working through the policy. It was a challenging meeting, and we heard a lot and appreciated tribal comments. I'd like to ask the director to have the staff respond to the tribal scientist with regard to input on the draft science report. There's a lot of questions about whether or not tribal input had gotten included in that, and we'd like to have a formal process by which tribal scientific input is provided.
Director?
I can certainly have staff do that. I will say that we did engage tribal scientists in the development of the document. May not have accepted every input we received, and we have a detailed response to comments as well that goes into every comment or input we received and our response to that, both from tribes and the Academy of Sciences. That said, we recognize as co-managers we have an extra level of responsibility there, and so we'll reach out and make sure we sit down on a face-to-face basis with them. I have talked to, while we were at PFMC last week or the week before, two members of those tribes that had particular concerns and agreed to sit down and talk with them. So,
yeah. Commissioner Gamble and then Councilor
Panesco. I just want to echo what Commissioner Anderson said, is that there was some concern that this process could have been bogged down by decisions of our co-managers to really start over on this process, but I was very pleased, and I think those in attendance agree that the tribe's willingness to move this to the policy level gave us a path forward so that we're not starting over and we're not getting into the weeds and specific issues of the draft policy review, and I think it's important that we emphasize that it's still in draft and that the outcome was very positive, and the kind of direction that puts us in the best position to move forward with the process and hopefully have this done by October.
Mr. Panesco.
Chair Carpenter and Commission. With respect to the question of whether the commission, whether a quorum of the commission could meet with the tribes in an executive session not open to the public, the obligations for the commission as a governing body under the Open Public Meetings Act does have exceptions for executive sessions. That those are listed in RCW 42-3110. There's a long list of very specific provisions where executive sessions may be allowed, and none of those specific provisions really fit the circumstances of the tribes wanting to have a, even if it's characterized as a government-to-government level meeting with the commission, that is not clearly fitting into any of the bases that qualify for executive sessions. So there would be significant risk. We could conduct further legal research. We'd probably want to do an executive session to discuss legal advice and legal risks about whether there might be something creative that could come up with, but there's not an easy answer that would say yes, a quorum of the commission could meet with the tribes in executive session. It's a little bit different than the North of Falcon context, where it's not the commission engaged with the tribes in negotiation for the fishing seasons. It's department staff, so that's not a governing body, so those are public and highly controversial. As you know, there's been pending litigation from groups over the North of Falcon process and APA, Administrative Procedures Act, and OPMA issues that are going. So there is that whole controversial aspect of it to consider as well.
Commissioner Kehoe.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks to Commissioners McIsaac, Anderson, and Graybill for attending the meeting. I know Chair Carpenter had intent to go, but was not able to make it. But I appreciate you going. I appreciate the comprehensive report. So as I understand it now, Commissioner McIsaac, I guess the tribes are, or there's a decision now for the commission to make on whether to kind of proceed kind of on these points as outlined by the tribes, or these kind of, I won't say conditions, but the kind of the requests. And I guess we'll leave the executive session aspect out for now. That's further discussion. So I guess, am I right, Commissioner McIsaac? Is that kind of where we're at right now? Is that, we're looking for some sort of affirmation or head nod or whatever as far as moving forward?
Mr. McIsaac, Commissioner Tharbert, did you also want to comment? Did I see your hand and miss you?
I have a question.
Would you like to do that first before?
Sure. So we did see a letter from the Lummi Nation requesting a government-to-government meeting with the governor, as I understand. What's the status of that, and how does that fold into this question?
I can tell you that request has been made. We've talked to the governor's office about it. It's not been scheduled yet that I'm aware of, but it's being evaluated through the governor's office. I would encourage them that really here is the body that most appropriate to weigh in. That said, they have every access to the governor, and they want to make sure he understands their concerns as well. So we'll try to manage both.
Thank you. Okay. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So with regard to the process moving forward here, I guess if the full commission is amenable to the recommendation that there be significant tribal co-manager heavy consultation as we move into the policy language phase of this process, which is the next upcoming phase, and if the commission endorses also the staff effort to develop a table of contents at least on what would be in a hatchery benefits report, then the next step would be that we would respond back to the tribes as to what the full commission's feelings are on this. Then I think if that is the case, the next step beyond that would be to engage them in whatever their
input might be for our April meeting. And at the April meeting, what the commission is scheduled to do is to provide guidance to the staff on policy language changes to the hatchery policy. And to do that, I think we'd have to have a fish committee meeting of at least an hour's duration leading up to the April meeting to consider what the tribal input is and make a recommendation to the full commission. So those are the immediate next steps that I would see coming.
Commissioner Linville?
I think you just answered it, Commissioner Isaac. You used the term heavy consultation, and I just was wondering if there was sort of a definition for the word heavy caught my attention.
Well, at the meeting in the Muckleshoot, they were very interested in the policy-to-policy input as we move into the language situation. So I think what that would mean functionally is when we respond back to them, if it's true that the commission is in favor of moving forward in this manner, to ask them what is their input as we move into the language phase. And that we consider that in April when we provide guidance to the staff on that. The next decision point is in August when the commission considers a public review draft that would go out on a new language for a hatchery policy. We engage the tribes at that point again as to what is their input, what's their feelings about the language that might go out for public review. And then the last step in the process is next October when a final decision would be made at this table. And prior to that, again, going back to them and asking them what's their input before a final decision would be made.
I'm not aware that we need a motion for this. I think if there are no objections to the pathway that Commissioner McIsaac laid out, we'll move on. Hearing none, thank you. Any other commissioner discussions? Okay. We'll go to item 1B, meeting minutes approval. Mr. Thornburg.
All right. So we have several minutes to approve. I'll take them one at a time.
Sure.
Yep. So I move to approve the January 16th to 18th, 2020 meeting minutes as presented.
Second. We have a motion and a second by Commissioner Smith. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
I move to approve the February 21st Washington Fish and Wildlife Conference call or Commission conference call minutes as submitted.
Commissioner Smith seconded. Okay, again, no further comments. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I move to approve the February 6th to 8th. Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting minutes as submitted.
Yes. Seconded by Commissioner Smith. No discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Thornburg. Okay, that wraps up meeting minute approval. We now are on committee reports. We'll start with Commissioner Thornburg's, or pardon me, Director.
I wanted to let you know that I believe it's still the case that our live streaming is not functioning right now, so we are not accessible to the outside world. I want you to be aware of that, and we might decide if we want to continue. My suggestion is we continue, but when we get anything of more meaty substance, we might want to check back in.
If I may, do we have a timeline for getting the system up? What's
internet?
Okay,
you
Commissioner
can use
Thornburg.
Hotspot.
Excuse me, Commissioner, Commissioner Baker.
Are we recording audio? Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, we'll continue on with the committee reports, and then we'll revisit that issue, Director. Thank you, Commissioner Thornburg.
So we met. The Wildlife Committee met at 7 o'clock this morning. We have a big wildlife agenda, as everyone knows. This is the meeting that we go over the game rules It's regularly scheduled in March of each year for adoption in April so that we can make any necessary revisions to the game pamphlet. So this is always a big wildlife meeting, and our committee was an opportunity to delve into several of the rules that perhaps there's more information or more significant changes being offered than we usually see in the interim of the three-year packet. We talked about the process that has gone into the landowner permits and it's some good work that's done there that we'll hear a little bit more about shortly. We also talked about the Cougar rule changes and the processes that we're going to look at as we go through that, as well as additional information that we want as we go into the decision-making on that. Staff has been working on this issue since last March, and the commission has been following it along, providing guidance. We're coming close to the decision, and I, for one, really want to express my appreciation to staff and the work that's been done on this. It's been intensive. I think we're making progress. We probably will not have this issue go away following this decision as we come on to the three-year pamphlet and the game management plan. We may be looking further at the issue of cougar hunting, but where we've come to date, we really are pleased with the work that staff has put into that. And then we also spent time going through the federal framework for developing the waterfowl hunting rules that Commissioner Anderson has not gone through that process before. Most of the rest of us on the commission are familiar with it. Waterfowl hunting is a little bit different than our other game rules in that it's really with federal guidance and rules that our rules are developed. And so we spent some time on that process and how the data is collected to make those rules. And that was, I think, pretty much what we discussed. Is there anything that any of the committee members wants to add? Okay.
Thank you. I believe that's the only committee meeting that has taken place. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief report on the Columbia River Fishery Policy Work Group meeting. And again, the people at the front table, I think, have something in writing of these notes. The Columbia River Fishery Policy Work Group met March 11, 2020 by conference call and test webinar. Work group members Kehoe and McIsaac were present in Olympia, along with Commissioner Anderson and staff members Bill Twite, Ryan Lothrop, and Nikki Klopfer. Work group member Grayville attended by test webinar. Approximately 20 members of the public and other staff members attended on a conference line. And this is another one that was to be an in-person meeting, but because of the coronavirus concern, was moved to an electronic meeting. The agenda is also in front of you all and was published online prior to the call. All agenda items were addressed except the staff analysis paper on the question of a voluntary or mandatory barbless hook requirement, which was set aside until a time when more commissioners might be able to hear the information and analysis. A more detailed meeting summary will be presented and posted on the website. In the interest of brevity, the highlights of the meeting are just threefold. First, regarding the range of alternatives for allocation and management measures, three alternatives were modified and staff analysis of effects assigned. One alternative was deactivated from further consideration by the work group, and three alternatives were assigned for further analysis. Secondly, the draft policy language document was reviewed and several edits and clarifications were identified for incorporation into the next draft for further consideration at the next work group meeting. And third, the work group agreed on one recommendation for the full commission to be considered at this meeting, and that is that the schedule adopted at the February Commission meeting be modified from an April-June two-meeting decision process to a June-August two-meeting process. The basis of this recommendation was concern expressed at the February Commission meeting about the early April staff workload burdens during the confluence of the North of Falcon Pacific Council and Commission meetings, and the fact that this work group meeting on the 11th was able to proceed. The recommendation is as follows. June 10th or 11th in Yakima, depending on how our meeting planning goes, in Yakima, the work group meeting to discuss the public review draft and changes to make a recommendation to the full commission. And this might require a 3 or 4 hour meeting in June to come up with a recommendation on that language, if it's an in-person meeting. June 12th or 13th, there's a typo on the written material you have. So June 12th or 13th during the regularly scheduled Yakima meeting would be the time for the commission to decide on a public review draft. And then at our meeting in Aberdeen at the end of July and the 1st of August, again, a work group meeting to discuss recommendations on final policy 3620 changes and a commission agenda item to make that final decision. And we can maybe get into this more during the meeting debrief and agenda planning at the end of the meeting.
Any questions of Commissioner McIsaac's report? Hearing none? Okay. Thank you.